Okay, thank you very much. First of all, I want to acknowledge my graduate student, Maria Paz Lagos, and most of the results that I'm showing today relates to her Master of Science thesis. And this presentation relates more about the effects of the nutrients in the environment and the pesticides in general. The previous presentation that we have seen, it relates more about those nutrients in the field. So, as you know, water erosion causes soil degradation and non-point pollutions. These pollutants are primarily transported on the surface of fine and sediments particles, and we are concentrated about those sediments and how they move in the field and how what is the capability of them to transport those elements in the field. As you know, several soil models are an empirical equation can be developed for the size to predict the particle size distribution in the sediments. And we have two kinds of models for that purpose. One of them are physically based, and the other one are empirical equations. The physically based, probably you are familiar with some of them, like the Water Erosion Prediction Project Model, WEP, require a large amount of data, sometimes exceeding the amount of available data in the model area. And on the other hand, we have empirical equations for predicting soil erosion, but some of them are not able to predict the particle size distribution in the sediment. Among those empirical equations, we have at least four different studies, one in 1975 by Frere, where he worked with the texture of texture data from 56 Midwest soils. And he computed the relationship between the specific surface area and the soil texture to estimate the sediment particle size distribution. In 1976, Young and Anstad used 45 soils from Indiana and 34 Minnesota, in addition to the 56 Midwest soil that were used for it by Frere, to develop a model based on soil texture, organic matter, water content, and soil water retention, and clay mineralogy. In 1980, Young, using 21 soils, built three equations for predicting the sediment particle size distribution and based on matrix soils. And in 1987, Deisman used 12 field experiments, all of them from a silt-loaded soil. I used rainfall amount, slope, initial soil water content, and size distribution for predicting the sediment composition. Those equations are very simple in terms of the variables and the use of for them for computing the sediment distribution. But now we have additional information, have new techniques, and some of them are related to the machine learning techniques. Some of them are the artificial neural networks that are used to predict soil properties and soil-related processes. You have there a series of examples of the studies where this guy have been using those techniques to predict, for instance, soil water retention, particle size distribution, some of them. Another one have been used for predicting bulk density. The advantage of these techniques is the ability to detect complex nonlinear relationships between dependent and independent variables, things that sometimes are difficult to find when you are just trying to look at the data. And the other advantage is that they have a wide range of choices for interconnections among the components. So the objective of this study was to provide an empirical and comprehensive equation for predicting sediment particle size distribution by using simple and typically measured soil properties. So we built a soil data set based on previous studies, and we use it to create an artificial neural network for estimating sand, silt, and clay in the eroded sediments. We use a data set that has 41 rainfall events from 21 soils from five different experiments, from the USA, Belgium, China, and Ethiopia. And the range of this data is presented in the table one, and the hill slope length for those studies range from half a meter up to 18 meters, the slope from less than 1% up to 45%, and the rainfall that was used in these studies range from 25 millimeters up to 245 millimeters. In terms of the texture for those soils, the sand, depending on the experiment, range from 1% up to 88%, silt from 8 to 84, clay from 4 to 55, and the organic matter content from less than 1% up to 14%. We perform a literature review to identify the main factors controlling the sediment particle size distribution before to run the network. So we found those that are listed there, the particle size distribution of the matrix soils, the initial soil water content, relationship, the ratio between the soil water content and the total porosity, rainfall amount, intensity, erosivity, slope, heel slope, vertical length, and the soil erodibility factor. I will review just three of them that were used later in this network, the heel slope vertical length, computed based on the slope and the length of the heel slope, the soil erodibility factor, because it was simpler for this case, we used the one developed by Sharpley and Williams in 1990, and that used silt, clay, and silt, and also the organic matter content in the soil, and the ratio between the water content and the total porosity as a way to describe the situation at the beginning of the experiment, how wet or dry was the soil. And we trained the network, and we validated using a two-layer feed-forward network. We used a training function, a transfer function. Data set was randomly divided in three sets. 70% of the data was used for training, 15% for validation, and 15% for testing. We used a kind of a net. We tested a system where we had from one neuron and up to 10 neurons in this test, and the iteration performed for each number of tested neurons was the 100 test. The target of the network was the fraction of silt, sand, and clay in the sediment, and we used the MATLAB network toolbox. After that, we had a bunch of options for networks to decide which one is and to decide which one was the best one. We use this criteria. First, we chose that predicted the values in the range of the sediment particle size distribution. Second, we compute the mean square error for both training and validation, and we select those that has a minimum value. And we selected also those that has a maximum and minimum values of selected input variable as part of the training set. Using those three criteria, we select and we build this network. Basically, this network has six input variables on the left that are sand, silt, clay, the soil erodibility factor, the information about how wet was the soil, and the heel slope length. We put those variables in the network, and we computed a series of the relationship inside using 8 neurons, and we got the output for 3 values that are sand, silt, and clay in the sediment. This thing that is a diagram was expressed later in an equation that is on the left of this slide, where the LW, IW, B1, and B2 values are shown in table 2 on the right side of this slide. Then you have the constants for the 8 neurons, you have the constant for the 6 input variables, and then you have some constant that relates to the 3 outputs that are silt, clay, and sand in the sediment. So now you have here a table where you can pick up the numbers and you can build your own equation now, and you can put it in Excel, you can put it in a computer, you can put it in an additional model where you can add these results. In terms of the performance of this network, you have the graphs on the right side of this slide where you have the results for the training. Here you have 87 data points that are a mixture between the sand estimations, the silt, and the clay. You have here the measured values and the estimated value. The R-square for that training process, it was 0.96. For the validation that relates to the training, because the network combined those two information to build the network, the R-square was 0.91, and the number of data points used for that, it was 18. Later, in the procedure, we test that equation with this testing data set that is independent of the other two. And here the R square was 0.76, and we use also, because it was 15% of the data, 18 data points. And when you use it for the entire data set, the R square is 0.94, and the data points are 123. And these are the results in circles. You have sand, square, silt, and clay in crosses. If you separate this analysis and you see it for clay, silt, and sand by separated, you have the table on the left side for the training, validation, testing, and using the entire data set. You have the result for sand, silt, and clay. These are the R square values for training, those for validation, those for testing, and those for the entire data set. The one that it was more difficult to predict, it was the sand, and as here you can see in the test, the value was close to 0.6 compared to the 0.95 or 0.90 that you are getting for the other variables. In conclusion, we built a model for predicting eroded sediment composition using only 6 input variables that are required to estimate the composition of the sediment, and the model was built based on measured sediment data, and the sand, silt, and clay were predicted with an R square of 0.93, 0.95, and 0.85 respectively. And probably the interesting thing here is that this model can be coupled with other existing erosion and pollution routines in a very simple way. I want to acknowledge the National Commission for Scientific and Technological Research in Chile that support this study. And if you want, you can get more information about this equation and how it was built and how you can use it in any other model. If you go to Science and the Total Environment, a paper published in this year, and you will have more details about that, but I'm willing to answer any other questions that you can have about this. Thank you very much for your attention. Yes.
The number of samples used for training, testing, did you try to vary that?
Well, yeah, we tried. This time, the 70% that we use for training is the one that this software provides by default. That's the main reason. It's not because I decide 70. It's the one that we have for by default when you run MATLAB. But you can change it. But we didn't try much about changing that number too. It's a good question. It's a fair question that we can try to see if the result changed a lot. Maybe 50 and 50 would be fine for the first approach. Why do we use the one that it was by default at that time? That's a good question. Any other question?
Okay.
Thank you very much for your attention.